former member of the Russia, current assistant coach, and the biggest bandwagon NFL fan I've ever met from the New England Patriots, Jimmy Quinlan joins us. Quinlan, how are you doing?
Yeah, I wish I was from the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Well, no, you're a bandwagon fan of the Patriots.
Well, I know we're going to start the season 1-0 because we got a layup to open up. So. Ain't that the truth, Dolphins?
Hey, are you playing for the team now? Are you suiting up for them?
You said I was with them.
So well, a bandwagon fan. Sure. We'll see. Hey,
I'll have my cutoff hoodie on. You'll watch Sunday.
Yeah, that's true. I'm surprised you never wear a hoodie on the bench your first year as an assistant coach.
No, it doesn't go well with the dress code. They make you wear that.
I know. Keenan told me you asked, and then he said, no, you're not frickin' Belichick. Put a suit on.
I have to wear the noose around my neck. It always feels like it's choking me.
Before we get to the NLL draft, I want to talk about something you were involved in. I think it's a pretty cool idea that the NLL, a lot of the teams do it. They fly in young players, Pee-wee and Bantam, and they basically represent them. You guys hosted it. You were coaching at the junior tournament. How'd it go?
It was good. It was a great experience. We got off on the right foot. Stumbled in our semifinal matchup with the Toronto team. I thought we played well enough to win, but they've got some very opportunistic players that understand the game a little bit quicker than our guys, so they were able to process in certain situations and take advantage of us. We lost 12-10, and then we didn't have much jam come Sunday morning when we played in the bronze medal game. So we fell to a good Vancouver team, but. All in all, for the kids, we sent a Pee Wee team down that one bronze, and then we sent a Bantam team down that one, that came fourth, I guess. And, all in all, it was a lot of fun. And for me, I just really enjoy watching the kids play with the NLL rules because there are a number of rules in there that really force the young players to make decisions. And because of that, you see mistakes, but you also see a lot of plays. So, all in all, it was a great tournament, and it was a lot of fun because I got to work with a number of kids that I only ever get to work with either at school here at Vimy or kind of some of the winter programs that we run. And to get them in a competitive situation was an excellent experience.
What are those rules specifically, Jimmy, you think help the players have to show how they see and think the game better?
The biggest one's the 8 seconds. Yeah. I mean, when those kids traditionally play, you can use the entire 30 seconds to get the ball over and into the other team's end. And, you don't have to get a shot. So, you see a lot of kids pick up the ball and their first decision is to run backwards and make a safe play rather than get their head up and try to make an offensive play or create a scoring chance. So that was one of the aspects where we had some difficulties and teams were wise to that. So they applied pressure. And really what it does is it forces the young players to move their feet and to learn the game at a fast pace rather than kind of go out and stand in a spot and then kind of maybe slowly make your way up the floor. So it definitely the 8 seconds sped up the game. And then the crease plays a lot of fun watching the kids kind of have fun with the crease dives and the dunks. And the way it's called makes it a little bit easier for the game. And then I think the best thing is the NLL has going for it is the non-contact off ball because it allows your smaller skilled guys time and space to make plays rather than just get pounded on by the big guys. So all in all, it was a great tournament. Thankful for the Edmonton Rush for providing the opportunity. I know the kids learned a lot and had a lot of fun.
Jimmy, I know we're only talking about Pee-wee and Bantam players, but now as a coach, do you find yourself starting to look at kids that age and at least making a mental note about kids maybe you keep an eye on down the road who look like they've got that love of the game, that drive, that athletic ability? Maybe the size isn't there yet, but you know what I mean, kids who could be streamed into competitive lacrosse down the road at your level.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that because, there were several of those players from all over in that tournament that are starting to get looked at by NCAA schools for scholarships, and, they got to do the legwork and they got to put in the time. But, yeah, there's definitely, you can kind of start to see that there's some kids, as long as they love the game and they stick with it. And at that age, a lot of them, I know the kids we coached on our teams were all multi-sport athletes, whether they're playing basketball, volleyball, or hockey. And they still do a lot of those things to develop their athleticism. I think if a lot of those kids stick with it and then they continue to progress, then they'll have excellent opportunities down the road to play either collegiately or potentially professionally. So it's a lot of fun. And you do kind of make mental notes just to see, if you see that kid 2 years from now, where has he got to, or 5 years? And not even necessarily to draft or to think professionally, but just to see how the game's growing. And that's something that, always seems to open my eyes when I go and watch the youth is how much better those players are than I was at that age and how it just continues to get better and better.
Jimmy Quinlan, assistant coach of the Rush, joins us. Now, you were also coaching that junior team, Jimmy. You talked about that, you know, the 8-second rule, which just came into the NLL. It used to be 10 seconds. And when you talk to people running the amateur, is that something that maybe should be looked at to at least increase it to maybe get it down to 15 or 12, just so these kids, because, you know, the pros sometimes struggle with 8 seconds, so I could get maybe why you don't go that low. But rather than giving them 30 seconds to improve their thinking of the game rather than always the safe play, is that in discussions at all?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely the discussion. It's interesting in the CLA, what they do have is when you're shorthanded, they only give you 10 seconds to get the ball over, which, you know, kind of sounds silly if you think about it, when you've only really got four guys on the floor against five and they're giving you less time than they do when you're even up. So I think, you know, if they went to 10 or even, like you said, 15 seconds with the younger players, I think what it does for the most part is it just promotes that running. You know, players need to make decisions. Offensive players need to be aware then that when the ball is shot, they actually have to start thinking about what's next, playing defense. And that was the biggest aspect we struggled with. We were pretty good at getting the ball over the 8-second line, but it was in those specific situations, the gameplay where the Eastern players from Rochester and Toronto had the advantages that when the ball hit the ground or the ref blew the whistle, they didn't wait for anyone. They just grabbed it and went. And because of that, they were able to create easy and odd man opportunities that they took advantage of. So I think, you know, across Canada, I think the reason we have our young athletes and our children play sports is to be active. And far too often, you'll go out and you'll watch a game where players will go on the floor or the field. It doesn't matter what sport or the ice, and they're not really involved in the play and they're not really getting the, I guess, activity that, you know, that you wish they would. So that's what I really like, is I like that those kids, they were shortened games, they were only 2 20-minute runtime periods, but by the end of it, our players were exhausted because they were forced to move the entire time, which at the end of the day, I think that's why we play sports, is to be active and to have fun.
Jimmy, let's look ahead a little bit. NLL entry draft coming up the 22nd. How involved in that are you? And what can you tell us about what this club goes in looking for?
Oh, well, how involved am I? I'm having discussions with Derek. Obviously, I know our Western scout, Darren Fridge, quite well, and I've been able to watch you know, some of those games out there, and I know a little bit about those players, actually a lot about the majority of those players. And then the Alberta is kind of my territory, so any players that have graduated junior lacrosse that aren't committed to the NCAA, or any senior players that have expired their NCAA, those are the guys that I'm responsible kind of for getting a lookout on and some notes and information on. So that's kind of my involvement. You know, there are some very good players. Unfortunately, the draft isn't as deep as it's been in years past. And for us, I know that we'll be looking, you know, to add probably an offensive righty with that first overall pick. And then depending on what happens, we'll probably, you know, maybe look to add some depth defensively, if it sounds crazy to say, or potentially another offensive player if someone slides to us at 7.
Yeah, the Rush guy, for people, the Rush made the trade. You move up to number 1 from number 3. And, you know, it fits right in this year as far as the weakness on the Rush, which I think would probably be a right-handed forward. And Ben McIntosh, Jeremy Noble, and Miles Thompson are the top 3 guys. All kind of different players. Noble, I think, is maybe the most skilled of all the 3, Jimmy, but he's a smaller guy, and you look at it and the way your team's going, you know, you've got definitely skill on that size, but not a lot of size and skill. So Ben McIntosh, who's played in Maple Ridge, I know, the last few summers, former teammate of Robert Church, compare him and Miles Thompson in their games.
Well, I think the easiest thing to kind of maybe separate the two is Ben McIntosh is, like you said, he's a bigger player, he's more of a power forward. Excellent player without the ball, doesn't like to carry the ball, tremendous finisher around the net on the crease. So he's kind of more your standard, your typical power forward, catch the ball inside and finish. Miles Thompson has some of the same attributes. He's got tremendous finish in and around the net, but he would be a little bit lighter and a little bit maybe more skilled, and he does some, non-traditional stuff with his stick, so he's kind of, you know, fun to watch in that aspect where Ben McIntosh is more of your textbook over the shoulder, just put it in the net guy. So, you know, both of them had tremendous summers. Ben McIntosh, came on real strong. He struggled out of the gate, and his second last game, he ended up scoring 6 of 7 goals for Maple Ridge in a win for them, or in a one goal loss, one of the two. And he was probably their best player down the stretch, and he's got some familiarity with Jared Davis and Riley Lowen. He's played with Mark Matthews before, so he seems like kind of like a natural fit. But then on the flip side, Miles Thompson just finished winning a national championship with his three brothers, the Senior B Championship. He's had some success wherever he's went. Really for us to move to number one, our idea, and then we haven't talked about the Noble brother, who again is tremendous. His kind of one knock might be that he hasn't played much box lately, but he did get in a few games this year. But I think that's why we moved to number one, was so we could make that decision, and rather than have one of those three guys fall to us. So we'll have some discussions, and we'll definitely end up with one of the three.
Yeah, Jimmy, I was going to touch on that. In terms of discussions between now and the 22nd, I don't expect you to tell us necessarily about who you like if you've got one name circled, but is there a consensus yet, or has that yet to be come to? And if you haven't arrived at the name of the guy you want, how much work between now and then has to go into it till you come up with that name?
I don't think really too much work needs to go into it, because at the end of the day, you'd be happy with either of those three guys. I think what we need to do, though, is we've racked our brains. We've had the discussions, and, I think we're all kind of leaning towards the same guy. But at the end of the day, what we need to do is we need to kind of look at what we need the most, and then we got to fill that need. So, it's evident that we are fairly small on the right side over there, so that tends to kind of lead us towards Ben McIntosh. But at the same time, we've had tremendous success with Jeremy Thompson, so maybe not Miles Thompson might be a good fit. So, and the Noble brothers, his older brother plays in the league and has had success. So I think what we'll do is we'll figure out what's the best fit for us, and then we'll make that decision when the draft comes.
Well, Jimmy, enjoy that. And then after that, it gets closer, only a few months away till training camp. Also, with the draft, the awards, the Rush could come home with quite a few of them. I'm thinking goaltender of the year, defenseman of the year, likely coach of the year, maybe a few more. How many do you think your organization takes home?
Oh, I don't know, but I think we trade them all in to have played in that championship. But the one I'm really watching is defensive player. I'm really rooting for Corbs to steal it from Rubish, so... That's kind of what I'd like to see.
Okay.
Those two have a good ongoing battle.
Yeah, but my question is, why isn't Chris Corbiel listed as a transition player?
I don't know how that goes. I think what happens at the beginning of the year, you declare your players, and I think we declared him as a defensive player. And so kind of like your fantasy football drafts out there, sometimes guys get wrong, classified the wrong way, and it works to your advantage or not. So,
because I think is it safe to say he's more of a transition player than a pure defender like Rubish?
Yeah, and that's, I guess, because Chris Corbiel likes to cross center and Rubish doesn't. So, at the beginning of the year, we would have classified him. But, yeah, he had a tremendous season. Both those guys did, obviously, setting, records here and there. But I guess at the end of the day, we're happy they're lining up for us and that I get to work with them. So, just like you said, obviously, it speaks volumes about our regular season that we've got all those guys nominated. And I'm rooting for all of them and wishing them the best of luck.
Well, Jimmy, we'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy about being 0-1 this weekend.
Yeah, okay, Brian Tannenhill. We'll see you later.